Hi, welcome to our weekly micro-podcast. No more than 10 short minutes of exploration into the world of indie publishing and content creation. I'm Cherry Jeffs and...
I'm Paul Reed.
And we're Craving Distraction.
So, here we are, this week. Still in Loja, it's sunny, it's blue, the snow is still on the Sierra Nevada, and we're in a bar, as you can probably hear from all of the noise around us, traffic going by, and just ordered some coffees. What are we going to be talking about this week then, Cherry?
Today we're going to talk about Ready, Fire, Aim.
That sounds intriguing.
Ready, Fire, Aim. I don't think it has got anything to do with a book by the same name, all about earning millions of dollars in a very short time. I think, in fact, it comes out of the software industry, whereby when you develop some software and you want to iron out the bugs, you really can't do that yourself because you can't really see them. So what you need is you need loads and loads of people to test your software to find the bugs. So the easiest way to do that, and you probably know this if you've bought an app off the, the app store that you suddenly find to be buggy, is fundamentally to release the software and let the consumers find the bugs.
Okay, so I understand that people want, in a sense, beta testers, but rather than give it to beta testers, they release it onto the public and the public feeds back and then they improve it with the second version. And therefore it slowly gets better. But in what sense is this a useful philosophy for productively creating work other than digital software?
Well, Paul's being funny here because he actually is naturally a ready, fire, aim person. And I think even before he ever heard the expression, he was someone that already undertook that philosophy. But what we're trying to say here is that really ready, fire, aim is the antithesis of perfectionism. And given I am Paul's antithesis, I am Ms. Perfectionist. So it's taken me a long time to get over my perfectionism and be convinced by the approach of ready, fire, aim. Obviously, perfectionism, dealing with that is going to be a real benefit to the ready, fire, aim approach, because what it's fundamentally saying is that you don't wait to perfect your content before you release it into the world. And that is really, really hard to do when you're someone who's obsessive about getting all the details right. So why would you want to do that? It seems to me that one of the first things is that you're always going to be perfecting your content. And although you might think that when you just finished your book that it needs nothing more, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and you've got the perfect cover and you've got it in the right categories and you're on your way to selling billions on Amazon, the truth is that as an indie content creator, that's probably not going to be the case. Probably in a year or 6 months or 2 years, you're going to redesign your cover. You're going to change your categories. Who knows, you might even change the ending to your novel. Because you don't have anyone to advise you as to whether your content is going to hit the market in the way that you really want it to do. And without that advice, the only way to test it is to put it out there and see what happens and adjust it as you go along.
In a way, I suppose what we're trying to say is that things have to evolve by themselves, and partly that's to do with feedback from others, partly that's to do with an evolution that's going to take place within yourself at the same time. I remember Stephen King writing in his book on writing about when he'd finished a manuscript, he would stick it in a drawer for 6 months and come back to it then. Well, maybe that's fine if you've got a whole team of people around you that are going to then take that manuscript and perfect it But if you don't have that support network and those professionals to help you, then the process of evolution is a communicative and interactive one with your audience. And maybe that's where this approach is going to be useful for indie publishers.
So in fact, actually, these ideas are not so, although these are related to digital products at the moment, these ideas actually have been around a while, because fundamentally it's a kind of improvisation. And if you go back to, say, the 70s or 60s, there's times when people would do theatre and they would take it into the theatre, and instead of going with a full script, they would go with a sort of sparse script and expect interaction from the audience to finish the play. So in a sense, it has a precedent outside the digital world. And I think that you can apply these ideas, although at first it seems a bit anti-natural to apply them to non-digital content. I think there are ways that you could do that. I do know also artists that post images of their painting as they're going along or whatever they're creating and ask for feedback from their audience as to, do you think I should put more blue in the background, or what do you think of this red? Should it be darker? That's not something that I personally feel that I could do, but some people do feel that that's a good way to go forward with exploring how their content might develop.
So was this the approach then on the release of the Craven Distraction books this last couple of months? And do we have any more news, update on either of these books, Terry?
Yes, news of the week is that Why You Need to Create an E-book is now free on Amazon Kindle US store and Spanish store. And you can also get it free on Barnes & Noble, iBooks and Kobo. We're hoping that we can get it free on some of the other Kindle stores, but we're waiting for information from Amazon about that. So don't miss out, download that and engage with the idea of creating content and getting out there into the world.